broadcast through the Wolf Spirit Media Network. Please join us in the chat room at wolfspiritmedia.net. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, beyond. Tune in with TalkStream Live, search for Ever Beyond. Also, you can call to listen on 712-432-9588. Selected archives are also available on my YouTube channel, Studio 9 Jam. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
You are listening to Wolf Spirit Radio, and this is JP, broadcasting indeed through Ever Beyond Radio. I have to remember this, that I'm really one of a cluster. Some people have another word for that. I'm really one of a cluster of radio stations that are going to be more and more evenly produced. So at the moment, we currently have under our wing Radio Buzzmack, but we'll be having some more soon. Some of those people who are sitting in the chat room there with shields will be in essentially my position as producers of radio, entire radio stations, not just the one radio show. Any of you there that wish to expand into that position and maybe have a radio show that broadcasts one day of the week and or maybe 2 or 3 hours a week. It doesn't matter. Just let me know. And I can then relay that onto the main feed. And that's how we create a continually changing live stream feed that runs from all over the planet. So, from east to west, from north to south, here we are. We had Stone Hobbit from the Antipodes, New Zealand, in the previous show, and tonight my guest comes from the Antipodes, Australia, and well-known old British colony where people from Cockneyland landed, and that's where the Australian accent expanded from. So tonight my guest is kind of more reticent than my usual guests. Because it's a part of his life that he doesn't really express that much about, and probably people won't, you won't be speaking with people in your local area about this. But to give your part of the puzzle, I believe everybody has a part of the puzzle, and everybody's given a little piece of information that they kind of they gnaw on, all through their lives. There's something that they're interested in, they only. And suddenly that little bit of interest becomes of key importance and important time. That's why everybody's got a piece of the puzzle, because everybody's got unique interests. So this may be some of the direction that we may move in tonight. We're going to play it by ear. We're going to see where it goes. I'd like to introduce to everybody tonight my guest, Alex Goncalves. I hope that's the right way of pronouncing it. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Hello, everybody. I live in Australia, but my background's in Europe. At this particular time, I decided to come forward because I've been following Alex Collier for quite some time. And one of his radio shows, he was talking about people didn't come forward, they had contacts with the Andromedes. And it made me think about, because The contacts that I had was when I was little, when I was 3, 4 years old to 8 years old. I think was 8, 7 years old. It was a long time ago. Now I'm an adult. I'm 28. And the thing is that there was a time that I forgot about everything, you know, and because I said to them, listen, I just want to live my life. That's what it is. And they asked me to see in the future, I want to have contacts. And I said, no. So, and then things, you know, I started to forget about everything they showed me. So I'm going to try really hard to remember everything that they showed me and what happened to the past and things like that. So that's pretty much it, JP.
Okay. Now, you haven't been to the chat room either, have you?
No.
No, because there's somebody else who's called themselves Alex Pom, which is really strange, you know. That's not you. This is not Alex Pom.
No.
Please, because he's been, Alex Pom has been posing some questions in the chat room. I don't know what people think of it. Anyhow, so if we take a look at, first of all, whenever I talk about experiences, I'm always talking about the feelings.
Yeah.
And there was obviously some sense or feeling that you were getting that made you feel very uncomfortable. Is that right? I mean, cause let's peel off the layers. Really truly expose this the different feelings that you have. And as a regular human being exposed to something. So do you want to tell us a little bit about your experience and your personal feelings during it?
You mean on the beginning when I was really little?
Yes, as little as you can go from what you remember.
Okay. So this is really before the contact. I was like 3 years old, I think. It was a long time, and actually my parents and me, we traveled to Europe or to Australia a lot of times in that period of time, and I got a, like, you know, there's your personality, right, and then there's something like your soul just warning you of something. It's really hard to explain. I mean, your higher self communicating with you. And so the thing is, I do remember the first time that I said my first word, you know, when I started to speak. And that time I felt like I was somebody that forgot everything. I mean, I felt somebody with great knowledge and great wisdom, and then suddenly I had to start all over again, you know, and I was really, really upset, you know, to start over again, to, you know, and forget everything that I knew. And so I think that energy that emotions that I trigger that time attract the Andromedes. But that time I didn't know there were the Andromedes. But I was really worried about, because after that day, I felt some presence, and I was really worried because I thought it was the regressives, you know? And I thought to myself, oh gosh, I'm done, you know, because the regressives were gonna do anything they like to me and things like that. So, and then the day after, one of those days, because that particular time I was in France and then went to, well, Portugal. And I went to bed. I felt this presence. I felt like a spaceship on top of my house. But I look outside. I couldn't see anything, you know. I couldn't see. But I felt it. I felt they were there. You know, I felt it. And then when I started to go to sleep, I started to, I'm feeling like somebody's is touching buttons, you know, like in the sci-fi movies, yeah, like a control panel or something. And and I realized they started to analyze me, like probably my genes, my soul. I don't know what really they did. And I couldn't, like, they started to contact me telepathy. I couldn't hide anything. You know, they can read everything, you know. It's really hard to explain.
You couldn't mask yourself from them.
Yeah. Because I didn't know who they are. I was really worried that they were the regressives. And I started to defend myself, of course, you know, because who are you? What are you doing? Leave me alone or something, you know, things like that. And they were really, really, really kind. And they tried to, you know, to feel safe. And, and they started to talk with me, sort of. And they were really, the expression, the things they said was, they didn't know, because our future was not going in the right path, and they're really worried about it. I felt like they didn't know what to do. So in that moment, I told them, don't worry, something is going to happen. That's what I remember telling them. Something's going to change everything. Don't worry about it. That's what I said. And they didn't listen, so they didn't pay much attention, you know? And then I think was like a week after, this was in 94, really on the beginning of 94.
And you were how old?
4 years old. Three years old.
So you had this personal sense that that everything was going to work out.
Yeah,
it was like you were speaking from the standpoint of somebody who had experience and knew what was going on. Is that right?
Yeah, something like, it's really hard to explain. It's like the higher self communicating, like, because you have to be aware, because when we are little kids, like 3-4 years old, we have more perception of those kinds of feelings and energies than we are in an adult. You know what I mean?
Yes.
There's a lot of
Childs. They say children are still connected to God.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So it was much more easy for me. I can't do it now for sure. But so after, I think it was 2 weeks or something, I don't know. It was in February, March, something like that. A couple of weeks after. They return, another dream, of course. My context was always in dream. They asked me, they personally asked me if I want to do it physical, but I was so scared that I couldn't, because they're so tall. I was so little. And you have to understand, I was a little kid. Even today, I'll accept it, but if you ask anybody, they probably say no, because they're scared, you know, because they're too tall and they're strong, you know, and I said to, and they return and they confirmed what I said. And they were, they're quite, very, very curious about, how did I know? You said the black hole started to change. New things are coming from the black holes. And what really happened was the 12th dimension, the creation of 12th dimension. And then at that moment they asked them, show me my past lives? That's the question that I gave them. And they said yes. And as soon as one of the first past lives I do remember was in another universe. They started to see a new, different star map that didn't belong to this universe. And then they tried to dig even further and further, and they found that they started like I was watching at the same time, and they were watching as well. It was like I was seeing a movie. Like and they were watching, and
did you find it distressing at the time?
Well, all I felt was intuition. Like I didn't know what was going to happen. Like intuition. And there was a lot of emotions happening as well. The first memory I have the past lives was my soul was created by another human on other universe on the 11th dimension. That's what I can remember. It was a female who created me. I've seen through all the years. In radio shows and things like that, people never talk about. How the souls were created, who created the souls, and the way I see it at that time is the technology. Anybody with the right knowledge of how to create it can create a soul, and. And I remember when they created me, it actually was created on a chair like a dentist chair. When you put your head on, the zone where you put your head on, there's like, how to describe. It's something on that machine that creates the soul. It's like a tube, sort of a tube that connects the on the further eye or something that starts to create the soul. And this is really
okay. Take a breath because there's a lot of information coming. I can see now.
Yeah, because it's even to me, it's really hard to reveal these type of things, you know, because nobody has ever talked about how the souls were created. Nobody in any radio show. And that's why I never came forward. I didn't want to, because of the knowledge, I didn't want any regressives or any, to make my life difficult. And
I don't think you're going to get much issue now. Those guys are on the run, and they're not really concerned about what people are saying now.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, that's why I never came forward, you see, because I lost contacts, you know, and I didn't know what was happening. And that's why I never came forward. And, you know, watch Alex Collier and, you know, it triggers me a little bit, you know, to come forward and talk about this. But anyway, after being created on the 11th dimension, somebody put me in the 5th dimension. I can't remember, but I was in 5th dimension. because in that time there was only there was no third dimension in the other universe. And then when I was created, I could capture and understand how the machine worked, the machine that creates souls worked. So I went to the fifth dimension and, you know, I started to gather my people and we decided to make a project. And that project, well, we wanted to study more this technology and, you know, and we created a new, tried to create a new being. That's what we want. So we went to like a planet that looked like Mars, but it was underground. And then we built this type of capsules. And this type of capsules at the same time created the soul with the body. It was like instantaneously, like that. And, oh gosh. And we started to create reptilians. And I remember we created a reptilian with one heart, but we wanted to create like a strong reptilian. And the one heart didn't work. We needed, so we put two hearts on the reptilians. And once we created the first reptilian, they started to, they look at to me and to us, my crew, and they were trying to escape and try to attack us any time. And I couldn't understand why, because at that time I had the power like to, you know, control object, and if somebody was attacking me, I can stop like mentally what they're doing, you know, like the movie Star Wars, like stopping anybody to attack me. And that was what was I doing with the reptilians, like one of them trying to attack me, but I didn't let him. And one time, our crew just left the base, and we left everything there, you know, and then we went out for, I don't know, it wasn't weeks, but, I mean, for a time, not too long, but for a time. And then when we returned, those reptilians were gone. They escaped. And I thought, how the hell they escaped? And we went to try to find them, and then we suddenly noticed they went to another planetary system or wherever, and they were attacking humans, and they're eating them, you know. And it was so shocking for me. Like, why are they revolt against us? I couldn't understand. And so we try, well, the only way we can deal with them was to, you know, take them out, take them down. So they spread all around the constellations. And we gather our crew and, you know, try to stop them. And then when we almost got them on the last planet, one of the last planets they gathered together, they reunite to fight us. We arrived with our spaceships and we thought, well, we have much more technology capability than them. They don't have that capability. So we fire with one of the lasers. And they fired back, and we were quite surprised they had that technology. Because it's like, you know, the time when the reptilians invaded Lyra. And then they had the technology, and the Lyrans were farmers. And one of them just robbed their spaceships and then gathered the other humans and, you know, spread all the galaxy to hide from the reptilians. So like a sort of a karma, because they did the same. And the reptilians, they strike with the full power of their laser, and we hit it back. And suddenly when we hit 100% of the two lasers, I mean, with the whole full power, suddenly started to create a black hole. And that black hole started to, you know, push everybody inside to it. And the reptilians went to that black hole, and my crew, we went to that black hole through the tunnel. And when I go to the tunnel, there's so many colors, like it's like a rainbow. So many colors, and I could see reptilians, like their bodies were already disintegrated, but their souls were there. Like we go through the tunnels, and one of the reptilian souls tries to attack me, but he couldn't do anything, you know, because a soul with soul, you can't hurt anything, you know. And then we suddenly come here. Onto this universe. And that's why the reptilians came. It was an experiment that didn't work out.
So this is how the reptilians got into this universe.
Yes, yes. They were experiments. They will never tell you. They'll never tell you that. Because, you know, they're too arrogant. And most of the reptilians, they don't know about it. Only the high, high elite. It's like an old knowledge. Only the top, top ones know about this. But didn't tell the reptilians, you know. Think about like a reptilian. You're going to tell them that you were created by our enemy? You think they feel comfortable? Of course not. And they have that false idea that they were born to conquer the universe. That's rubbish. They're not born to conquer. They're just an experiment. And
This is actually, you know, we've come across this information before. In a way, it's given me a great heart to deal with the reptilian issue. Because knowing that, it's like, that's like having a secret weapon against them, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
You know, I know who your daddy is.
Yeah, yeah. But they'll never accept that, you know? You know how they work. They're too arrogant. I don't know, it's really hard to And even for me, like, in some radio shows, I've heard about there's good reptilians and all that, they change. And, you know, that makes me really curious about, because they always been really hostile to us. And finding one of them being, you know, gentle and good, and it boggles my mind, because I struggle my whole existence to make them like that, or to find a way to make them like that. Because I didn't want them to attack humans or anything, you know. I just couldn't understand why, when the moment they were created, they started to attack us. Like they saw us hostile. You know, I don't know, it might be the way that I looked. I just don't know, JP. Just don't know.
This is a very formative moment. And could it be that it's something like the monster of the id? That which was in your deep subconscious comes out to haunt you?
The monster. What do you mean by the monster?
It's called the monster from the id. It's like all your the sum total of your unconscious fears all gathered together and embodied in a single creature?
I think what you get, well, when they showed me my past lives, I couldn't, you know, all the emotions came out, you know, all the emotions, they really dig really, deep on where the hell they came from, you know, and all the things that I'm describing now, the emotions, because it's all about emotions. Once you try to remember the past life, it's all about emotions. All about emotions.
Yes, it's about getting back to the feelings in there. So sometimes the feelings are difficult to be present in because they're uncomfortable to be present there.
Yeah, that's true. That's really, really true. And sometimes really, really hard to describe what we are feeling, what we are seeing, you know, because we live in third density and trying to remember. You see, even when I was in a dream state, I can't see like a really clear image like I'm seeing now, like when I'm awake, you know, because you're in a dream state. You can see like, you know, you can see objects, people, you know, but I mean with the details, you know what I mean? Because you're in a dream state, you can't see the really details of everything. I mean, when you were seeing on a picture, can you understand that or not really?
I think it's, well, you know, you're talking about a dream state, and so in this world that we find ourselves in, they say, oh, your dreams, that's just imagination, it's not real and all that stuff. However, I'm firmly of the opinion when you're in a dream, you're somewhere else, some kind of thing. And just because you're not focused in this body, you're focused in some other body, somewhere, when else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the thing is, during that time, it was like, and this week we're going to see episode 1, episode 2, episode 3. And then the next week, episode 4, episode 5. That's how it worked for me. You know, the continuation of all of my past lives. And of course, I had some breaks, you know. I mean, they took me to down to earth, you know, the, how they call it. For example, they took me to their spaceship, like in a soul level. No, they didn't bring my body. They just bring my soul to the spaceship. Or they took me, you know, the center of our planet. There's a name, there's a civilization there.
Agartha?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Because or Shambhala?
I remember being there, and that I don't know. I know there's one or more civilizations under there, and that the grass glows and gives light to everything. It's hard to explain that, but I know the grass glows. It lights up everything, you know, because there's no, at least I didn't see any sun, but I do remember that the grass was glowing. Yeah. And I remember what Alex Collier was talking about. One of the spaceships was like a sort of a planet and was divided by three areas. And I remember being one of that spaceship, but I was on the forest. They had like a forest kind of, and I was with the Andromedans. And the thing is, I always ask them not to reveal to Alex Collier, of course, tried to hide my identity and things like that, because the things that I knew, I just wanted to protect everybody, you know, protect myself, everybody. That's what I wanted to do.
Well, Alex, I'm very pleased and honored that you've chosen me to be your first vehicle of expression of this. Whether you carry on or not, well, we'll see. People might contact me. I might have to forward things to you.
JP, I just want to share what I know. I don't have any website. I just want to release everything that I can, anything that I can know or I can share. And, as soon as I do that, I just want to continue my life. I just want to help everybody in some way, you know?
That's
about it.
Well, I mean, one of the things you can do is to actually just tell your story honestly and frankly without worrying about what anybody else might think, because there are people who have really extreme experiences who can't say anything to anybody or haven't been able to until recently, when other people come forward and say, oh, this thing happened to me and I really have to share this. The process of sharing something like this is what's important. Because it's unburdening as well as it's heartening for others. Because somebody hears your story and they'll say, oh, hang on a second. Yes, I've had dreams. Oh, it was so long ago when I was 3 years old, la, la, la. That sparks more of an awakening within people. So, I really honor all the things that you bring out. No matter how trivial you might feel the detail might be, somebody else might pick up on that and say, oh, yes, I remember it had this particular color or this particular shape. It's very important.
Well, in related to the Patel, well, I only can share... Like, for example, the Patel, that's the name I think the reptilians gave. But at that time, there was no name. There was no time. We were rushing. What happened in the... Why? I'll explain to you guys why we came to this dimension, this third dimension, this dimension was created. Because of our emotions, we have extreme emotions. Does only not affect this dimension, but it's going to affect the whole entire dimensions. And we needed to come to this third density with our emotions for a long period of time, creating positive energy, and we're creating a lot of pressure to other higher dimensions. We're affecting other higher dimensions. And as we are doing that, from the day one we arrived here in this planet, was 4.5 billion years ago, I don't know, where we arrived in that time, until now, we all, in this planet with emotions, we all created the 12th dimension. We are emotions. Okay, I just want you to know that. And there was a reason. And that reason was because when this universe was created, there was not enough souls to create positive energy to sustain the universe. Okay? Because outside, I do remember being the 11th dimension, and outside of our universe, there's a huge energy. I mean, When you reach the 11th dimension, you're trying to get even higher than the 11th dimension. You don't have enough energy to travel to a higher dimension. And outside our universe, there's a frequency so high that if that frequency touches the frequency, even in the 12th or the 11th dimension or 12th dimension, it will just disintegrate because the difference is it's so huge. Because a soul, for example, going to this dimension to go straight away to 11th dimension, it can't handle straight away. It has to be like in small steps to adapt to the energy. It can't go like, because it will damage will harm the soul. And the energy that is outside, it will disintegrate the soul. The soul can't handle that. It will die. And we needed to come here to create the 12th dimension with our emotions, so that we, the 12th dimension will let the other universes, let their energies come through the black holes and try to, balance the energies to clean up the negative energies on this universe. That's what is happening. The energies are coming to this planet, to other places on our universe. That energy comes from another universe. And of course, our bad energies will go to their universe as well. It's like a balance system, so that we can clean up, because the only way to win against the bad guys was to create this. There was no other way, because if we try to war with them, we only create more karma for ourselves. And that was the only way. And that's about it, JP. I mean, there's some information about the Patal I can share, but not all of it, because I don't feel comfortable.
Well, thank you very much for what you've shared so far, because Patal. Been experimenting with vowel sounds tonight. It would be certainly a form of trauma to discover that you're suddenly alive and that somehow, it was like they were born angry at their God for creating them. Does that mean that their souls perhaps were in a nice restful state?
I know they thought
that when you create it, it's a nice restful state, and when it's put in the body, it becomes agitated by the experience of being in the body.
I know that their souls are different than us. I mean, from human souls, because at that time, I just wanted to create a new experiment. I mean, the people on that universe, the way they created souls was on human form. But that knowledge, I wanted to create a different soul. You know what I mean? Not a soul equal to a human soul, but it's a different soul. It's hard to explain.
Something more sophisticated?
No, different. Like they don't have. But, for example, we gather cosmic energy. They don't gather as much cosmic energy as. I think could be possible for them, but they're. We gather cosmic energy. We absorb the good energies, and we. And the reptilians are like more, they're less connected to that type of energies. I mean...
So they have to feed on lower forms of life and things like that. Yet we can, if we, we've set our mind to it, we humans can eat sunlight, for instance, or prana.
Yeah, but I'm talking on a soul level. I mean, in the soul, you don't need to eat or anything. I mean, it's the energy of the soul. It's different. That's the only way I can describe it.
Is it like a different color? A different tone?
No, it's not about the color. It's not about the color. It's about the soul. I can't remember all the details. If I did a hypnosis, you know, regression or something, will be much easier. But I can't remember all the details. I only know is their soul is different from the human soul. That's the only thing I know.
All right, okay.
And I wish to help, you know, because it was a long, long time. You know, I'm now 27, and I was like 4 years old. And, you know, I started to forget about all of these things when I was, you know, 9 or 10 years old. And then in 2012, I started to remember little by little. So, yeah. And of course, it's all because of the help of the emotions, because once I tried to see like movies and things like that, that triggered those emotions, I started to remember again and how they show that. That's the easiest way I can explain.
Is it like, we were talking to Simon Parks really years ago about Ender's Game. Do you remember that film?
Ender's Game. I do remember, for example, I'll give you an example. You know Stargate? You know the series Stargate?
The documentary series Stargate, yes.
Exactly. Actually, two of them remember things of my past life. Number one is the Atlantis Stargate. The city that you're seeing on Stargate is the city of Poseidon in Atlantis, because the city that Poseidon, I mean, he was in charge of that city. He was the king of Atlantis, but his city was floating in the sky. It was not in the ground. It was on the sky, and there was a huge crystal, blue crystal, that was powering up the whole city.
A huge blue crystal. And, hey, Alex, yeah, we're going to take a break in a little while, and this is, in a way, this is a bit of a change of gear, and of where we're going. So it may be best to kind of, you know, give it some space bring it forward in the next hour. I just want to see if there's any comments in the chat room to see. There's everybody's enjoying hearing you. This is all a very interesting angle as well. We've covered a little bit of this in the Andronicus transmissions, about the, go ahead.
Yeah, I watched, I think, one or two episodes of it. But I couldn't watch so far because now I'm on a busy time. It's Christmas time and I'm working more hours. So yeah, that's about it. But I'm going to watch every show of the one that you told me what was it called again? Iconis.
Andronicus Transmissions.
Andronicus. Yeah.
Yes. What I've done is, made a compilation of the first 20 episodes, just the transmissions, just what Andronicus was saying himself. So that gives a kind of continuity to it, and begins to introduce various other characters who also appear to be sort of making their way towards us. It's a huge kind of gathering point in time and space in this weird cyberspace that we're in. I can think it's only going to get more and more intense. And hopefully that there's a place for everybody in this. So while we're here, I'd like to play a track by the Peace Orchestra. Who am I?
Spirit Radio.
Oh yes, I'll switch on my mirror. You are listening to All Spirit Radio. It's 4th of December now. It's just past midnight here in the U of K. And I'm speaking to Alex Goncalves. He's there in the United Kingdom of Australia. Hey, how are you doing, mate?
Not too bad. How's it going there?
It's going all right, actually. It's going very well. Your puzzle pieces, your crumbs are filling our bowls here, and we're enjoying a nourishing meal of nuggets. You're doing good. It's a very interesting and pervasive story. Now, so we then started moving on, to a period from, you know, we were first talking about the Draco origin. And so are these reptilians you're talking about are what we call Draco reptilians?
The first ones, the Dracos, the ones that arrive here. Actually, the first time when we created them, they looked like the soldiers. I mean, the normal reptilians, but then they started, you know, with when they arrived here, they started to make their own system. Like there's the top, the sea car, I think the Draco sea cars, the oldest ones, they started to change their bodies to make a ranking, you know. But they in the beginning, when they were created, they were like a simple reptilian. I mean, a simple Draco reptilian. And when they decide to create their own civilization, long time ago here on this universe, they changed their bodies. I mean, they started to put wings and tails and all, but they were like a simple, Draco, like the working class or warrior class. In the beginning.
And they kind of augmented themselves. How did they do that?
I don't know. I really don't know, really, because when I was in the 11th dimension, when you are in the 11th dimension, you could see what's happening in every dimension below. Everything. You can hear their conversations. You can see everything. But, at that time, I was so busy. There were so many things that I needed to do. I wasn't like 100% focused of what they're doing. You know what I mean? But I do know. I do remember one of the conversations. I was looking one of the guys on top. The conversation they were saying to not share. They were created by the humans, the top, to the other reptilians. They want to hide that, that story, that hidden story. I do remember that. And another thing, one year on the 11th dimension, everything around you, I mean, everything around it's like, being on a room and there's almost no light. I mean, it's like you're seeing the light outside. You look in the window and there's not much light because your body, yourself, is the light, and nothing in the universe has more light than you. And of course, there's much more colors and things like that, but I mean, nothing in the universe, when you're 11 dimension, nothing in the universe has more light than you. So you see everything like black. I mean, like, you just woke up in the middle of the night and you watch on the window and you see some light outside. That's the way, I think that's the easy way I can describe it. But yeah,
so because you're such a light being, everything else in comparison is dark. And so in order to see it, you have to shed light on it yourself. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Well,
are there ways of creating, like, you know, a lampstand or something? Yeah.
Well, you have to defend a little bit of that dimension. You know, because 11 dimension has other frequencies. You can lower your frequency a little bit lower, but you're still on 11 dimension. You know what I mean? The 11 dimension is just a group of dimensions, of frequencies. Can you understand what I'm saying or not really?
Right. Hang on. So back up a little bit. Is that...
Okay.
Okay, so you're saying from every dimension, from the 11th dimension down, you can see anything. Does that also work from the 10th and 9th and 8th, etc.? Can you see up?
Yeah. Oh, you can't see up. You only see down. If you're on 7th dimension, you only can see what's happening on 6th or 5th and 4th and 3rd dimension. You can't see what's on 10th dimension.
Right.
That's how it works.
Okay, so from 11th dimension, you illuminate what? Is it whatever you illuminate becomes alive, and then you can walk away from it, and it stays illuminated, and then you come back occasionally to give it more light? Is that something like that?
Like I said, in 11 dimensions, different frequencies, and you just type it in one of those frequencies. And of course, if you want to see something, you have to lower a little bit your frequency so you can see. I mean, the highest frequency in 11 dimension, you can create, for example, a lamp that lightens up everything, and you lower your frequency down to a lower dimension of the 11th dimension, so you can see what's happening. Because if you go to the top frequency of, for example, the same frequency of that lamp that you created, you can't see anything because you and that lamp are the highest point. So you have to lower your frequency and let that lamp have the higher frequency. And then you can see on that low frequency, you can see what's happening. I think I'm getting there.
That because your lamp that you would create would still be shining into some form of darkness, that you have to drop down in order to see the light that you've created from the thing that you've created, because you can only create on a lower dimension. Can you create on the same dimension, I suppose? Yeah, can you?
Yeah, of course you can. But, I mean, it's an example how to see what's happening what's happening in your dimension, in the high dimension. Because if you go to the top frequency, 11 dimension, as that lamp, you don't know you can't see any light. You know, of course you feel what's happening, but you can't see anything. You know, you have to lower your frequency a little bit on the 11th dimension, so that the light from the highest point will help you to see what's happening on your frequency, not in the lamp's frequency. I think I think that's the only easy way to describe it. I can't describe more than that.
All right. So what about 12th dimension then? People talk about 12th dimensional.
Well, I don't know yet. I haven't been there. Because when the 12th dimension was created, I think was in 94. I mean, there was that period of time that I said to the A's that something is going to happen. And they didn't know. And then suddenly the black hole started to emanate other frequencies that they didn't used to create in the past. Because before that time, the highest dimension was the 11th dimension. And now past that time, 94, then the 12th dimension was created. So I don't know how it looks like in the 12th dimension. I've never been there. But I like to. Eventually, I'll go there one day, hopefully, and the rest of us as well.
Yeah, once we've... apparently, there's a bunch of renegade 12th-dimensional Pleiadians who, like, lab technicians who have gone postal and have gone ravaging through time and space. But that's another story. Who knows? But, right, so here we go. Let's spiral back down. Hang on, let's use the old time machine sound effect, because it always works. And take us back to what you were talking about just before the break. There we go. Meanwhile, in Atlantis.
In Atlantis.
You were talking about the Stargate and that the spaceship... stroke island stroke submarine dome is description of what actually really occurred, except that it also floated above the surface. Was there a time when it splashed down and caused and was it a mining ship? What was the reason it was there?
No, that city just was on the sky. That's what on the series, the city just goes underwater. But at the time when I was there, I don't remember the city going underwater. It was always on the sky. And actually I can't believe, unless they created a shield or something to go underwater. But, I don't remember anything about it. I mean,
I believe that a gravity shield can repel water because the Ark of the Covenant was used to clear water when they wanted to cross the Jordan. Remember that?
Yeah. But in the time that I was there in Atlantis, I can't remember. The times we were there, the Syria was always on the sky, so... I can't say went to underwater or anything. That's the only thing I can remember. And there was a crystal, a blue crystal, that it powers up for the whole city. And that crystal was floating. Was floating in the air, sort of. I think I show you the picture we send you on the. On a chat, of a crystal, that's how that image looked like. I mean, on my dreams, that's how it looked like. And that crystal absorbs electrons, sort of. And, because the crystals in Atlantis, they glow by themselves. They glow, they create their own, like lamps.
How did that happen? I mean, do you understand how that actually happens? Because it would be really cool. I mean, everybody's got crystals. Wouldn't it be cool that crystals glowed for us again? Why doesn't that happen?
Because I know that they change those crystals. They change those crystals to absorb electrons on the air, and then they collide on the middle, and when they collide, electrons collide with each other, they create light. Okay, And that light, when it's created, there's other electrons going on the way and they absorb that light that's coming from the center of the crystal, and they get charged again, and then they hit again. You know, it's like the CERN experiment, but like with the electrons in the crystal. I think they change. I'm not 100% sure because I can't remember, because I was not a scientist at that in Atlantis. I was a politician, sort of. And yeah, I think that's the way it works. I'm not 100% sure, but that's the only. I think that's the only way that I found out that they probably work like that. I'm not 100% sure.
All right, I have a graphic here. I'm looking back through here. A lassie from the Pleiades, light work at Bimini, Atlantis Vortex, November 2011, and it's got a what looks like a kind of glass and steel dome thing with an enormous crystal in it. Yeah. Oh, there's a balustrade there. So yeah, it's probably the 50 feet tall, and the crystal inside it is probably about 40 feet, 30 feet from top to bottom. So very large crystal, glowing with this kind of pale blue, almost looking like it's emitting a pale blue mist, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now.
And
go ahead.
I think the crystal created a really strong magnetic field, and it was floating by itself. There was nothing attached to the crystal. It was floating. I think because of the strong magnetic field was creating.
Yeah. I mean, all of this reminds me of what I've been talking about, and everybody's going to go, oh, here we go again. Die Glocke, okay? There was a point where the Glocke started to levitate, and it would be exuding a green mist. And then there was a point when it would go invisible, and it would emit a blue mist. And it's probably, when this thing is its extreme of almost going invisible. I mean, obviously, it's going to be emitting ultraviolet light, be going into a different dimension, frequency band.
Different frequency, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why it disappears.
Yes.
That's why it disappears, because we can't capture that frequency.
So this is to me, that there's some connection between this technology, so how do you get crystal? All right, so there we go again. How do you get a crystal to levitate?
Well, I'm not 100% sure, because...
That's right, you weren't a scientist, you were a politician, that's right.
If I had the hypnosis, I'm definitely sure I could remember how they work, because I remember... I know when they were showing me my past lives, there was a time they were showing me how the crystal worked, but I can't remember the details. That's for sure. I need to do like a hypnosis or something to remember. I can't remember it's been a long, long time.
Yeah,
and I think only for hypnosis I can remember.
Okay, well, we'll have to get you. I think it'd be really cool to do some shows with a proper quantum hypnotist and do the real thing and take guests back. That would be a great show, and also very educational for everybody. I don't know about doing it live. It might need to be a podcast, just in case, somebody might reveal something that might be a bit too raw.
That's the thing that I'm worried about, because, it doesn't happen to me. It happens to the other people that had contact. They can't share all the details and all the things, because sometimes they'd be uncomfortable, or might be those informations could affect somebody. I don't know. The thing is, you always worry about the regressives, you know? I was always worried about the regressives. I was trying to hide as much as possible because of their regressives. I didn't want them to know what I know. You know, because imagine if I found out the one of the technologies that my soul knows, not me, my soul, my higher self knows, we can use to harm other people or other races. And I don't want that to happen, you know? I always want to protect everybody. Because they don't know what they're doing. That's about it. They just want control and fear.
So do you believe that a Pleiadian operation to clean up the rest of the reptilians here in this dimension and planet can actually succeed?
Well, yeah, because of the good energies that come coming from other universes will definitely clean up the negatives. And then like I've heard about Simon Parks and Alex Collier, the good guys are here, they're cleaning up. I mean, I think they don't have much of a future for now. But still then, they are still in control. I mean, we are still on the matrix system. We haven't been free yet. So that, I'm still worried about it, you know, because sometimes I think I should come forward maybe later, you know, but, you know, it's hard to explain.
I think you're right on time, Alex, because you wouldn't have come to me any other time. So, it's just right.
I hope so. I hope that I don't screw up, you know?
No, I think you've dropped some good breadcrumbs for people. It is something, as I said, it's something that I came across a while ago. And it was quite a revelation and quite uplifting to know that, you know, that it was, it, you know, it's, then they're not as, they don't have the ability to be as proud as they think they are. Mm-hmm. Are you watching the new Star Trek?
The new series?
Yeah.
Not yet, but I'll watch it because I've got other series that I'm watching for now. And the thing is, now I'm on a really, really busy time, so I don't have much time for seeing series for now. So yeah, maybe next year or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, now people in the chat room and now everybody's getting this right. Okay. Saffron saying, I remember years ago that Alex Collier said that no one knew where the Draco reptilians came from. Not that this would, although this would explain much more. So it's a kind of mystery that they, now this would explain much more. Okay, thank you. But yes, the new Star Trek on Netflix, we've done, 9 episodes so far. And, it's interesting because it goes much more into the world of the Klingons. And, they all speak in the sort of, they're speaking in their natural tongue. They've really, gone deeply into their own folklore and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the origins of why they didn't like people and how they didn't trust people. There's very much this, although you wouldn't say that they were exactly human creations, but so it's interesting. So they basically learn to hack themselves in some way.
Yeah, because they when they stole some of our technologies on the other universe, they got access to, you know, some of our technology, not all of them, but some of them, and when they go through the black holes. I mean, when they arrive here in this universe, they gather that knowledge and then they start to build up their civilization. You know, And this was in fifth dimension. Everything happened on fifth dimension. So, yeah, that's about it.
So, all right. So, now, what about when they attacked Lyra? What dimension was that on?
I think it was in the fifth dimension, yeah. Because at that time I was in the 11th dimension, and I remember I was trying hard not, I mean, I was trying really hard to, you know, they don't find out about the place where the lions live. You know, I was trying some way to protect, I mean, you and the other lions. But sooner or later, they just found out where the lions live by an accident. It was, they were passing by with their spaceship and they noticed Lyra. And when they arrived, they started to, you know, say that reptilian style. I mean, give us your resources, and then, you know, or else we'll destroy you, or something like that. And then suddenly, I mean, that type of situation happened here in our planet as well. When the Patal, when we arrived in this planet the first time, the reptilians came here. It was like a karma issue. I mean, it repeated itself. You know, they send nuclear weapons against us, and we started to mutate. And then we decide to send their own nuclear bombs against them, because at that time we had, here on our planet, we had more advanced technology than the reptilians had. So, but then the nuclear bombs were so much effective, they were harming so much of the human life here on this planet, so we decided to, you know, use their own weapons against them, you know, and that's why the dinosaurs appear. They started to mutate. I don't know, I think some dinosaur bones still radiate radiation because of that war. I'm not 100% sure, but I know there was, that's the result of that war. That's the only thing I can remember.
I've heard that the dinosaurs were like their cattle, you know, their food source.
No, it was a war. It was a war. They because of the nuclear radiation, start to mutate. And you'll never find like a huge group of the same species. You always find different species of dinosaurs. Always different species, not a huge group of, you know, of the same species. And, yeah. And in one of those Dracos, some of those Dracos went to America, I mean, to the subterranean. They start to build up their civilization. So the reptilians were here even in Lemurian Atlantis time, a long time ago. And I remember being in Atlantis, I want to get rid of them, of this planet, but I didn't have the political power to do so because Poseidon was the one in charge of Atlantis. And actually, he betrayed the human race. He fell us to the reptilians. Yeah.
Go ahead. Tell us more about this.
Well, Poseidon is from Sirius B. He always had connection with the reptilians. But he was like, I mean, he was like, you know the Star Wars movies? I mean, I know that you talk about the Clone Wars. Remember the wars between the Dracos and the Lorans? But I mean, the part of the politician, I mean, Darth Sidious is like a really representative of Poseidon. He looked like a good guy, but on the other hand, he had like a second agenda, a really dark second agenda. You know that? And he betrayed us. I mean, if you guys ever seen, for example, Dragon Ball? I mean, the father of Goku, Bardock, the whole story, I mean, that movie, that's the last days of Atlantis. And I want you guys to, because the guy who created Dragon Ball, he knows about the story of Atlantis. The symbol you got on, for example, the King Vegeta is the symbol of Poseidon, the trident on his chest. And Bardock is actually Atlas from Atlantis.
This is a very interesting thing. You know, you hit a key word here, Atlas. And it's something that several people in the last couple of weeks have all said Atlas to me. And some people say, you know, I'm Atlas, or lots of people have been saying I'm Atlas. I believe it's a collective, as opposed to a single entity. And am I correct about this?
Well, I do believe there was other people with that name, but I mean, Atlas, in the beginning of Atlantis, I'll tell you what happened in Atlantis in the beginning. So when the reptilian war ended, and then after a long years, there was other starships like the Pleiades. The Pleiades was involved in the building up the helping building up the Atlantis. And one of the Pleiades star system, the regressive Pleiadians, you know, the bad guys of Pleiades, they work like a reptilian system, a monarchy or whatever. And they wanted to create this new civilization, was Atlantis, based on that type of system, a monarchy, like a king. And so, in the beginning, there was an election between Poseidon and Atlas. So the one who won the first place will be the king of Atlantis. And then the second one will be the name of this new civilization. They'll use his name, like, to remember he was in second place. So Atlantis means the island of Atlas. And, and Atlas was in second place. So, but then again, the one who had completely control of Atlantis was Poseidon. And then in the beginning of Atlantis, things were really, really, people were living in love and harmony with even with Lemuria. But then Poseidon said, listen, Lemuria, it's too advanced technology. They can get rid of us. They can destroy us. So we should destroy them, because this is our planet, not theirs. You know, those false flag attacks, you know. And then people just follow their orders. And there was a big conflict in Atlantis, because there was a lot of Pleiades on Atlantis and Lemuria. And the Poseidon asked them to go against the Lemurians, but the Pleiades didn't want to go against their people, so they decide to leave this planet. You know? And we started to destroy Lemuria. And I feel a lot of guilt to not stop that war, because that war just led us to where we are now. I mean, what happened to us for the last thousands of years? Because that negative energy that was created in the Pacific Ocean, I mean, it was so huge. It was a genocide. The Lemurians didn't fight back. They just, you know, they saw us as our brothers, and we betrayed them. And I was in the beginning of that war, but then I couldn't deal with the negative was created, so I left the war. I didn't want to be a part of. And sometimes, you know, I just want to apologize for the crimes that I committed to the Lemurians. I know the Lemurians fled to Mount Shasta in the fifth dimension in California. I don't know if they're still there or not, but I know they fled to there. And I just want to apologize for all the bad things that me and the other crew, I'm sure. I want just to apologize for that, you know. I regret all of that, those bad days. And of course, Lemuria was a huge continent, a huge continent. Lemuria was located, I mean, the rest remnants of Lemuria is Japan, Hawaii, the Eastern Islands. That's why you have a lot of volcanoes around there. You call the Ring of Fire, because that huge continent went down. And then later on, Atlantis went down, because the plate tectonics started to exist after the destruction of these two continents, not before. There was no Pangaea. The map of our planet was different, completely different. Not the rubbish they tell you on school, on science or whatever. It's nothing to do. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it, JP.
Wow, pretty much a data dump there, Alex. I bet you didn't know you had more than an hour in you.
Well, I got 20 minutes or half an hour to go, so yeah.
So here we go. We got some questions. You want to answer some questions, or see how you feel? Take a breath in. You know, would it be possible that the scenes Admiral Byrd discussed in his videos from 60 years ago or so, would it be possible that what he describes as Lemuria? Is that a throwaway thought or a possibility?
Well, I would like to answer that question, but I haven't seen I haven't watched it yet. I might watch it later. I don't know if you send me the link up, because I never heard of it. I watch some people talking about Atlantis. But the thing is, well, if JP, if you can show one of the maps that I've sent you, I think that might help the people that listen to this radio show. I mean, if you can type it in that map of the world where Lemuria was placed and Atlantis was placed, will help them to understand what it looked like. I mean, that's how I've seen on my dreams, how they showed me.
I'm but just yeah, posting was, that into the chat room now.
Okay, thanks. Because that map, I mean, it was quite funny. Once I tried to remember what the A showed me, I mean, because there was a time that I forget everything. When I start to remember it, 1 week later, my father introduced me the book Defending Sacred Ground by Alex Collier. That's when, gosh, I read the whole book, and in a lot of stuff that he is telling on that book, I even have image, and I remember even more details than what he's describing in that book. And it's funny because it was later on a week ago, a week, you know, because I think they're still watching me, and they interact with me indirectly, not directly. That's what I got this feeling about. And then on the map that says Allah 777, that happens like in the same time, the same period. I started to watch, and once I saw the map of the world, I mean Atlantis and Lemuria, gosh, I said, this is it. I remember it. You know, it's not about remembering like something you learn in school. It's about emotions. I mean, it's all about your you remember those feelings, and then you start to remember everything. That's how it works. We're dealing with past lives. And yeah, they, I mean, if you follow, I don't know the person who's on that, who created those channel, I mean, LH77, but he knows a lot. I mean, he knows a lot. And I mean, if you people have an opportunity to see his videos, I mean, it's great. I mean, it's really great. And yeah, that's about it, JP.
Sorry, thanks, Alex. I'm just saving the Hello? Picture. Yeah, I'm here. I'm just saving the picture from the Facebook page over a long story. And then I have to upload it. So it's going down and then back up again. It's taking its time. Anyhow, I'm also fascinated. There's this other legend of an island in the Atlantic, which was known as High Brazil. Could it also be High Brass Isle? Was it golden in color? What were the metals involved? Do you know?
I would love to answer that question, but I can't remember. The only thing I know was really back in those days in Atlantis. I know that when Atlantis was destroyed, not all of the land was destroyed. And there was probably some remnants of the island. That's the only thing I know. You know that Greek times when they call it Zeus and Poseidon, the gods of the sea, the gods of the whatever. I think Poseidon was in charge of the sea, so he was probably removing all the clues about Atlantis on the Atlantic Ocean. So, yeah, I know that the whole continent of Atlantis was not completely destroyed. There was some, might be small island, the one that you're talking about. It could be the one that you're talking about, but that's the only thing that I know.
So this island that floated in the sky, what color was it?
Sorry?
The island that was floating in the sky.
Yes.
You know,
a city, I'll say a city.
Okay, we'll call it that. So the city in the sky. What was kind of underneath it? I mean, was it like smooth? Was it grass? Yeah. Was it metal? What color was the metal? Do you know?
Was like, yeah, it's like the, I mean, the metal we used to see, but I can't say what metal was. I mean, on that picture with the crystal that I send you, I can remember seeing on the opposite side, on the other side, looking to the opposite, the side that we are looking on the picture. And I do remember the whole city was like New York, looked like New York. It kind of reminds me of, you know, on Star Wars, that those cities floating in the sky. I don't know, it's the Empire Strike Back or something. I think it's on that part of the movie. You know what part of the movie I'm talking about?
I'm not sure about that bit. But the motif of floating cities is quite, you know, is quite well known in many, many science fiction. There's loads of planets are described as having floating cities, all over the literature and all over the descriptions from other races. So there's, it's all gravity technology and, you know, presumably the whole thing runs off that crystal. And is that crystal happy?
Well, I'm not sure. I can't remember. I mean, I know that at that time in Atlantis, the energy was so good. I mean, I'll say that the crystals were happy. But then on the end times of Atlantis, I mean, the people starting to get really selfish and not taking care of them. I mean, the other people as well. I mean, because of Poseidon. Poseidon just let them be selfish and help them to be selfish and creating wars against Lemuria. And then, of course, those negative energies will strike back. Because once we destroyed Lemuria, then there's the karma. I mean, Atlantis was destroyed by himself. Because there was a time our moon was invading our space. Because in that time our moon wasn't here. The moon was the invading guys. The regressives came here with our moon, and we are trying to destroy that moon. And so Poseidon said, "Well, listen, our crystals can't destroy the moon, so we'll build like a huge crystal to destroy the moon." And then that crystal was really meant to destroy Atlantis, not the moon. That's the seeding part of Poseidon. So when somebody pressed the button to fire the laser, the huge blue crystal started to absorb so much energy that it reached a point that it exploded itself. And what happened, that started to destroy the continent. And Poseidon was up there on the spaceship watching everything what's happening. Like he knew, he planned this. He planned the destruction of Atlantis. He planned the destruction of Lemuria. Because he worked with the reptilians. And that's why Atlantis was destroyed. Because the crystal that it was built was built for destroying the moon, but at the end, the crystal just gathered energy, destroyed the whole continent. And that's when the regressives came here. After a time, the regressives came here, take control of all of this. But after that, I can't remember what happened, because all of the things were happened after Atlantis, because I was trying to hiding from them in some way. But
So now these are non three-dimensional beings, therefore that they exist out of space and time. Therefore, if you're alive today, then he's alive today, yes?
Yeah, for sure.
Have you met him? Huh?
No. The last time I was with him was in Babylon. And, see, on the time of Babylon, that's when they created the elite human groups. That's when they create the cabal. I mean, that's when they started to select people to be the cabal. I mean, the top 13 people, or, you know, I mean, the guys that in charge of the planet, because they got big plans. And at that time, I was one of them, but I wanted to gain power, so then at the end I could help people. But they sooner or later they figured out what I was doing, so I couldn't handle the bad. I mean, the bad energy. I didn't see any future about it. I didn't see how I will gather power in the future. So I decided to commit suicide. And so, to flee, I mean, to go to exile. Because, you know, I tried really, really hard to give the power to the people back, but I couldn't. Yeah, and Poseidon was the one in he was like a mentor, not a mentor, but the leader of that group of the cabal. He was like giving guidance to the group, you know. Yeah, that's about it. The cabal probably knows who I am. This time, I don't know. But still, I just don't care.
To be honest, Alex, yeah, I think they have other things to think about.
Yeah,
other fish to fry.
Yeah.
So to speak.
I hope so.
Go ahead.
But all this time in Atlantis and Lemuria, I was really waiting for the time that we created the 12th dimension. That's the biggest secret. That's why we came to this dimension, the third dimension, to create this pressure on other dimensions so that the other dimensions can create the 12th dimension. And so I can go back to my universe and see my old, old family and my mates. Because after I went to this universe, I couldn't go back and see them. So yeah. And another thing, if we didn't create this 12th dimension, our universe in the future will disintegrate, because the new universe doesn't have enough positive energy to sustain itself. So the energies that are outside of our universe will go through our universe and will disintegrate everything, every soul in this universe. So that's why there's no timelines in the future, nothing in the future. Because of that.
So I think we're going to have you back and you explain, well, or at least... comment on how things are going in this process, which sounds like something that's ongoing right now, isn't it?
Well, things are going well. I mean, my last hope was to the good guys, our brothers and sisters up there will help us to make the transition. So we can help them and help the universe to clean up the bad energies that's around our universe, so that we can sustain our universe with positive energy and in the future things that I've said would happen. And I really have really great hopes for the future, to be honest. I mean, I'm not, I, I'm, I'm 100% positive that what I said because of the universe that is integrated will not happen in the future. I'm 100% positive on that because of the game change that happened here and this particular time.
So, Alex Goncalves, thank you very much.
Thank you, JP.
Thank you for exposing yourself, but also in the nicest possible way, but also expressing yourself. I do believe, and I hope that you'll have gained some space and some feeling that you've kind of felt some traction with your words tonight. People have been listening to you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, JP. And I just want to make a last message. I want to really thank Alex Collier. Well, I tried to contact him before, but it wasn't possible. I know he has his own life, you know. But in the future, if that's possible, I don't mind, you know, because I just want to, you know, thank for every contactee is sharing everything they know, their experience, because those things just game changed the whole thing, you know, just helped the human consciousness to develop. And and that's about it. I really appreciate it.
Alex, thank you very much.
Thank you.